triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is here in this place, and he greets you with these words, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the mighty and transforming work of the Holy Spirit. We welcome all of you to worship this morning here at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Whether you are a member or whether you're a visitor, we are delighted that you have joined us in worship, whether that be in person or whether you're watching online. We invite all of you to a time of coffee and conversation following the service in the multipurpose room. Head straight down the hall, it's to your right. And if you are living in District 6, your special coffee time is today, and that's in the parlor down the hall and to your left. We also invite you to a time of prayer after the service for global concerns, for our missionaries, for persecuted Christians, for concerns around the world, and that will happen around 11:15 in the chapel. This morning, we continue our series on Faith 101, thinking about truths that we have in Our World Belongs to God, our contemporary testimony. And this morning, our focus is on the Holy Spirit. I invite you to join me in these words from Romans 8 as a responsive call to confession. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Would you join me in a prayer of confession? We'll conclude the prayer in song. Almighty God, you freely pour out your Spirit upon us, yet too often we have ignored your promptings, rejected your teachings, and have followed the ways of the world. Have mercy upon us, O God, as we seek to recommit our lives to live in accordance with your Spirit. Hear this good news also from Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, to be a sin offering for us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, there are a few updates in addition to what is already in the prayer concerns in the bulletin. First of all, Jody Hoekstra suffered a fall on Friday, broke several ribs, and is in the hospital for observation. Also, we extend our sympathy to the family and friends of Marianne Stehauer. Marianne passed away this morning. I couldn't help but think as we were singing the last verse of that song, we have had in this congregation now 10 deaths this summer. And while we mourn and we grieve, I can't help but think as we read the words of that song that all 10 of those people are standing in glory, seeing Christ face to face, and they are serving him forever in that holy place. We praise God for that, even in the midst of our grief and our hardship. Before we go to prayer this morning, I want to read to you a few words from Our World Belongs to God, paragraph 29, that help lead us into prayer this morning. It says, "The Spirit renews our hearts and moves us to faith, leads us into truth, and helps us to pray, stands by us in our need, and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant." With those words on our hearts and in our minds, let's go to God in prayer this morning. Sovereign Lord, we come to you this morning in amazement for who you are. One God, yet three in one. Our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Comforter. O Lord, your glory is incomprehensible. Your mercy unmeasurable, and your power incomparable. We thank you, especially this morning, for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for the way he moves and works in our lives. Increase our faith, O God, and renew our hearts so that we are more aware of his presence and his leading, so that we will know the way we should go, so that we would more fully understand the truth of your word, and so that our hearts would love you even more. We pray for that renewal in our individual lives, in the life of this congregation, in our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, and in the church around the world. Lord, we lift before you today those in our congregation who need, by your Holy Spirit, to feel you standing by them in their need. We pray for Leon Hakes, for his mom, Austin and Amanda, as he recovers from heart surgery. We pray, Father, that that would go well. We thank you for the recovery that Bob Houtman and Bill Stroh have experienced, and that both have been able to return home. We pray that their progress would continue. We pray for Jody Hoekstra, and pray that you would heal those ribs, Father. Provide healing, comfort, and peace in her recovery. We pray for Bill Van Dyke, who continues with rehab at Raybrook Nursing. Father, we thank you for the progress he is making, and we pray for the pain to lessen, and that you would continue to provide him with the determination he needs to recover. We pray, too, for Marge Hogeboom, and we pray, Father, that you would provide all that she and her family stand in need of as well. Father, for all those who are grieving in this congregation, we ask that you would pour out your grace and your mercy so they would be comforted. We pray this morning especially for the Vanderlei family and the death of Bob. We pray, Father, that you would comfort Linda, Julie, and Dan, and the girls, and the entire family. And we pray now, too, for the family of Marianne Stehauer. Father, grant them your peace, knowing that her health struggles are over and that she is now enjoying eternity with you. Father, as we think beyond our church walls, we think of all the names that are in the fishbowl that we have here at church. Those who don't know Jesus as Savior, those who have left the faith, those who are wandering from the church, we pray that your Spirit would work in their hearts and you would draw them back to you and perhaps to you for the first time. And we pray, Lord our God, as we think of people who don't know Christ as Savior, we pray for more workers as Jesus called us to pray, because the fields are ripe for harvest. We pray as well, O God, for peace in our cities, that you would calm the hearts of those who are filled with anger and prone to violence. We pray for peace in our world, that you would change the hearts of leaders who are filled with greed and other selfish motives. We pray for peace for those who are in prison for their faith, that you would keep them safe while also providing justice for their release. And we pray for peace in all our hearts, that in the midst of things that are blasted across social media and on the news, that we would be reminded that you are God, the one alone who is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in challenging times. Lord, we now take a few moments in silent prayer to lift before you the praises and petitions that the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts. Father, increase our faith and our trust in you, knowing that you have heard our prayers and will answer in your way and in your time. We ask this all in the name of your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
With the healing of division, with Okay, children, it's time to come on up. Come from the balcony, from the back, the front, the sides, everywhere. Kids, come on up. You might not be used to me, but I'm safe. I'm okay. And I've got a cue card here because I forgot something last time I did this. You got to kind of help me. You know, at the end, the people are going to say, "The Lord be with you." And then we have to say, "And also with you." Okay, don't let me forget it. Okay, I've got the card. Okay, thank you. I also got some things here. Got a couple of balloons. Okay, this balloon, is it full or empty?
Full.
It's full. Full of what?
Air,
full of air, right. And God wants us to be full of himself, like this balloon is full of air. There's a verse in the Bible that says it's a prayer that we would be...
Helium.
Pardon? Well, this one doesn't have helium, no. just air. But there's a verse that prays that we will be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. God wants us to be completely filled with himself, like this balloon is. Now I've got another balloon here. But first, how does that happen? How do we get filled with God? Well, by coming to church, by listening to the Bible, hearing Bible stories, by talking to God, praying, by obeying our parents, listening to them, and by doing good things, by being kind to people. These are ways that we experience God filling our lives, okay? Now this balloon, is it full or empty?
Empty.
It's empty. But I'm going to blow it up, put some air into it, maybe we can fill it. Oh, what's happening? It's leaking. Let's try it again. It keeps on leaking. You know what? Yeah. You found there's a leak. There's holes in it. That's why it keeps on leaking. And you know, we're kind of like that. We leak God. God kind of leaks out of us. His spirit leaks out of us. How does that happen? Well, if we stop coming to church, stop listening to Bible stories, stop talking to God, if we become unkind to people, take grabbing toys from other kids and not sharing our toys with them, those are ways that God kind of leaks out of us. So we've got to get filled with God again. We've got to come back to church, listen to Bible stories, listen to our parents, be kind, and so on. So we have to keep getting filled again and again with God. Okay, be filled with God. Be filled with his spirit. Okay, you can go now. Oh, wait. We almost forgot this again. Okay. Congregation, what is your prayer for these kids? And also with you. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Basically, we're just going to unpack that this morning, being filled with God with his spirit. We're going to read Acts 19, verses 1 to 7. It's found on page 1724 in the Pew Bibles. Before we read that, let's pause in prayer. Holy Spirit, breathe your life into your word. And blow your wind into this message. Open the sails of our souls to catch your wind and be moved by you today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Acts 19, starting at verse 1. In this passage, Paul is starting his third missionary journey and coming to the city of Ephesus. If we'd go back to the previous chapter, Acts 18, we'd see that he made a short stay in Ephesus, but then he went back to Jerusalem, to his mission base in Antioch, and now he's going back, starting another journey, and he's in Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, Then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, in other languages, and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will read from Ephesians 5 a bit later. This is an unusual story. You know, Paul arrives at Ephesus. He finds a group of disciples, but they haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty strange. And they weren't properly baptized either. And so they only had John the Baptist's baptism. So Paul had them baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in a very tangible way. They spoke in other languages and prophesied, much like earlier incidents in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost and the household of Cornelius, that the Holy Spirit came on the people as they put their faith in God. Now, apparently, these 12 disciples were true believers. They were disciples in Jesus, but it's very strange that they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. Now, perhaps the Holy Spirit was working in them, but they just weren't aware of it. They didn't know about it. Now, could that be that a person would, God's Spirit is working in them, but they just don't realize it? What do you think their life was like? They're disciples of Jesus, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And this brings us to a question I want to ask you this morning. What if there was no Holy Spirit? What if tomorrow the day dawned and the Holy Spirit was gone? No more Holy Spirit. You open the Bible and no Holy Spirit there. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, Jesus Christ, but no mention of the Holy Spirit. How would your life be different? Would it really make a difference in your life if the Holy Spirit wasn't there? What does it really mean to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives? How conscious are we of the Spirit's work? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? As Chad mentioned earlier, we're in this series that we call Faith 101, the basic teachings of the Bible and the Christian church. And today we're focusing on the Holy Spirit. There's so much to know and to learn and to experience about the Holy Spirit. We could only cover a little part of it today. It's good that in the past few months we've actually had several sermons about the Holy Spirit. Most of them have been in the evening service, so some of you may have missed those. You can still go find them online, but those covered other things that we're not going to cover this morning. But just a few basic things about the Holy Spirit. First, we call the Holy Spirit the third person of the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We think of God the Father mainly as our creator, the one who runs the universe, the one who's in charge of everything. God the Son became human in Jesus Christ, and he lived on this earth, taught and did miracles, and he suffered and died for our sins, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And then God the Father and God the Son sent the Holy Spirit on the followers of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit applies the redeeming work of Jesus in our lives. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit that we come to believe in Jesus in the first place. We call that being born again or regeneration. Second, the Holy Spirit keeps working in us. He gives us the power to follow Jesus, to really serve as his witnesses in this world, and especially to bring the good news of salvation to the whole world. And third, all believers in Jesus have the Holy Spirit working in them. There are some groups of Christians that have taken this passage, Acts 19, to mean that, you know, there's one step of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then a second step of receiving the Holy Spirit or being baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, a two-step process. As Reformed Christians, we believe that's an incorrect interpretation of Scripture, and there are clear places in Scripture that tell us that every Christian, every believer, has the Holy Spirit working in them. But we all need to grow in experiencing the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And what I want to focus on today is how. How does that happen? How do we grow in experiencing the work of the Spirit in our lives? How can we be more aware of the Spirit, what the Spirit is doing, and really be filled with Him? And so I'm basically unpacking what I told the kids this morning. That verse, Ephesians 3, verse 19, it's a prayer that we'll be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And it says that happens by the work of the Spirit inside of us. So yes, God wants us to be full of Him, full of the Spirit. Now, it's interesting that the metaphors that the Bible uses for the Holy Spirit are often fluids, wind, and water, things that can leak out of a container. And the problem is we do leak, and we need to keep being filled with the Spirit again and again. Now, let's look a little bit later in Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is found on page 1819 in your Bibles. I encourage you to open to that. Now, this is Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. It's the same city where he was in Acts 19. He probably wrote this letter about 7 years after what happened in Acts 19. And what he's talking about in this part of the letter to the Ephesians is about how we can live as faithful followers of Jesus in this dark world, how we can shine for God. So Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15, Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, if we look at that, these verses, we're learning about what kind of lives, what kind of witness our lives present to the world around us. And Paul uses wine as a comparison here. He says, don't get filled with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Don't live under the influence of alcohol, but live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God animate you, give you joy, and lead you through life. And then he points out that being filled with the Spirit works out into worship, in singing songs to each other, singing songs to God, worshiping the Lord, giving thanks to God with our whole lives. Now back to Paul's statement here, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command, so it's something that requires our action. On the one hand, the Holy Spirit can't be managed. The Holy Spirit is kind of unpredictable. Jesus told Nicodemus that the Spirit is like wind, that you don't know where it's coming from and where it's going. So, you know, we can't manage it, we can't control it. But as in a message that Pastor Peter gave earlier this year, he said the Spirit is like wind moving a sailboat. We can't control the wind. If you're on a sailboat, you can't tell the wind where to go. But you can open the sail, and you can adjust the sail to catch the wind and make the sailboat move. And that's how it is with the Spirit. There are things we can do to catch the wind of the Spirit in our lives and be filled with the Spirit. But there still aren't specific instructions. There are not steps on how to do that in the Bible. But the Word of God does give us clues about how we interact with the Spirit in our lives. First of all, there are some negatives, kind of some warnings. We are warned not to resist the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, especially by hurting each other with words. And later he says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is like fire, and when people get kindled with that fire, they are excited. They want to use their gifts and glorify God. And Paul says, don't put a stop to that. If you do, you're quenching the Spirit. Now, on the positive side, it's interesting, very interesting to look at Galatians chapter 5. And we have the same theme that Chad brought out as found in Romans 8, this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And when Paul is talking about the flesh, he's not talking about, literally about our physical bodies. He's talking about our sinful nature, our old selfish nature that tends to hang on to us and tends to get us off track in our walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians 5. But just several statements that he makes kind of give us an idea of what it means to work with the Spirit in our lives. In Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then very soon after that, he says, if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under law. And then he goes on to say, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, keep pace with the Spirit. And it's also in this context that he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Our fleshly nature, our sinful nature produces all kinds of bad fruit, immorality, idolatry, hatred, and so on. But the Spirit produces good fruit in our love, in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And there's one more statement that Paul makes that's very interesting here. In Galatians 6, verse 8, he says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I like how the Message version paraphrases it, and I'm going to read that now. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And so that's about the transformation that we experience when the Holy Spirit is working in us. But the question still kind of persists. How is this going to happen? How do we get to walk with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit? Well, for this, we need to go back to the words of Jesus, to the simple words Jesus spoke in Luke 11, verse 13. He said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, your Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We simply need to ask the Father to give us the Spirit, and he's sure to give it and to keep giving the Spirit in our lives. But there's a couple of caveats here. First of all, are you sure you want to be filled with the Spirit? One of the points that Pastor Peter made a few months ago is that the Holy Spirit is a change agent, and he disrupts people's lives. Is that what you want? Do you want your life to be disrupted? If we read through the book of Acts, we see that the early disciples of Jesus, their lives were really disrupted. One example is Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7. As we read the story of Stephen, there are three times that it talks about Stephen being filled with the Spirit and empowered to bring the powerful message to the people. But the Jewish leaders didn't like it. They got angry. And the last time it talks about him being filled with the Spirit was just before they dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. So being filled with the Spirit actually got Stephen into trouble. So we have to think about that. Do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Are we willing to let him disrupt our lives? If we want to just live a smooth and predictable life, go to church on Sunday, mind our own business during the week, well, maybe being filled with the Spirit is not for you, if that describes you. And second, do we really need to be filled with the Spirit? And this is a matter of how we see ourselves as God's people in this world. Jesus' purpose for his followers is that we represent him here and now in this world, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to expose darkness, to work for justice in society, to care for the poor and homeless. Jesus calls us to be his mission agents, to spread the good news of salvation to every people group, to call people to repentance and faith in Jesus. And to have the power to do that, we need to be filled with the Spirit and keep on getting filled again and again. But if you want to pursue the American dream and of affluence and personal fulfillment, just tweak it a little bit as a Christian, go to church and live a morally good life, maybe just being a quarter full or half full of the Spirit is enough, not being totally full of the Spirit. But then we would miss out on the joy and excitement of seeing God work in our lives, doing greater things than we could expect or imagine by the power of his Spirit. And God, I believe, would be disappointed, would be frustrated with us. So I challenge you to read through the book of Acts and see how the followers of Jesus worked. They really needed to be filled with the Spirit, and they experienced the Holy Spirit doing great things through them. I don't claim to be a Spirit-filled person, but I do know that God's Spirit has filled me at times, and through him, I was able to do things beyond what I could expect or imagine. Even standing here in front of you this morning is one of them. But I also know that I leak. God gets out of me. The Spirit leaks out of me, and I need to keep being refilled again and again. Now, we need to remember that as Jesus said, that God the Father will give us his Holy Spirit, just before that, he said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and a door will be opened to you. So we know that this praying is not simply, like a routine prayer, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. It requires some intensity, some seeking and knocking, something to pursue, not just to kind of relax and wait for. How can we intensify our prayers? Of course, if we really make it a practice to do that day by day. And fasting is one way to intensify our praying. After Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days, we read that he went forward in the power of the Spirit and really started preaching the gospel. Sometimes Jesus spent a whole night in prayer. He probably did it at night because every day people were crowding around him all the time. Most of us probably don't have that problem, so we can do that kind of prayer in the daytime. And think about spending a whole day in prayer, perhaps with fasting. It's a powerful way to grow in our intimacy with God and to be filled with his Spirit. Now you might think, what would I do if I would try to spend a whole day praying to God? What would I pray about for a whole day? Well, there are people in this church who can give you some guidance on that. But one important thing to do if you spend a day in prayer is to look at every aspect of your life and surrender it again to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to fill every single area of your life with his power, with his presence. It's a matter of emptying and then filling with the Spirit and thinking about every single aspect of our lives, praying specifically that the Holy Spirit will fill every nook and cranny of our lives. And as he does that, he will fill up some of those holes where God tends to leak out of us. He'll do some repair work in us. And as you spend a day with the Lord in prayer, and even if it's not a whole day, but a half day or a few hours, take some time to write down what God is saying to you. Write down your reflections as you're spending time in prayer. Write your prayers, too. And this is actually what most of the Psalms are, is writing of reflections and prayers that the psalmist experienced in their lives. Now, before we wrap up this morning, just a couple of examples from a couple of our missionaries. You know, our church supports 42 missionaries and 7 other ministries, 29 different countries. And that is the work of the Spirit, too. The work of the Spirit is missions. Jeff and Julie Bauman are missionaries that we support in Budapest, Hungary, Europe. And they were ministering to a young lady named Pamela for several years in their ministry there in Budapest. And Pamela came from a Christian church in Syria, which is mostly a Muslim nation. And Pamela was going to go into a course of study, but her scholarship fell through. And so the Holy Spirit led Jeff to consider, how about if Pamela would join a 1-year mission internship program called Cohort? And so she did apply to that and was accepted. And it's to serve in ministry in a ministry in Berlin, a ministry that reaches out to migrants that are mostly coming from the Middle East. Most of them speak Arabic. And what an asset that Pamela can be for that team, because she is fluent in Arabic. But we need to be praying for Pamela, because she needs to be interviewed for a visa this coming Wednesday. So pray that her visa to Germany will be approved and that she can join that cohort. You can tell in this that the Holy Spirit is orchestrating things to work out His will. And then we have a member here at LaGrave who some years ago heard Jesus calling to him. When he heard about what was happening in Nigeria, in northern Nigeria especially, where radical jihadists were killing Christian men, leaving behind their widows and orphans, and seeing that need, this member of our church decided to do something about it, to see what could be done in terms of rehabilitating these orphans and widows. And as he began to collect resources in response to the call of the Spirit, he experienced the Spirit working in all this, working in him and working in the situation, providing what was needed for this ministry. And so this has been going on for years. And until now, tens of thousands of widows and orphans know the meaning of life once again. And many of them have experienced renewed life in God. And so the Spirit called him, and he responded in faith, and the Spirit kept working, providing all that was needed, and great things happened. It doesn't have to be far away. It can be right here. On August 19, we'll have our next spa day here at LaGrave. We'll invite our neighbors, especially the homeless, to come to enjoy a free meal, to have their feet washed and checked by nurses, to get a haircut and to fellowship with other people. Some of us are planning to wear T-shirts that say, "How do you want me to pray for you?" And just walk around, talk to the people, and pray with those who want to be prayed for. How about coming and joining us and watch the Spirit at work? And so today I want to challenge all of us to listen for that call from God, to cry out intensely for the Holy Spirit to fill us, and then to keep in step with the Spirit, to watch as the Spirit does more than we could expect or imagine. I especially want to challenge you who are of the younger generations this morning. If you're in middle school, high school, college, or starting a career, yeah, pray and open yourself to the work of your Spirit. He probably will lead you out of your comfort zone. It may sound scary, may sound more than what's really possible. But the Holy Spirit will work it out. The Holy Spirit will be with you, and you will experience the joy of being filled with the Spirit and being used for God's purposes. Let's all open our lives more fully to the work of the Spirit. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, break us, melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us as you please. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Please turn in your bulletins and join me in reading the responsive reading of the affirmation of faith. The Spirit gathers people from every tongue, tribe, and nation into the unity of the body of Christ. Anointed and sent by the Spirit, the church is thrust into the world. Ambassadors of God's peace, announcing forgiveness and reconciliation, proclaiming the good news of grace.
Going before them and with them, the Spirit convinces the world of sin and pleads the cause of Christ.
Men and women, impelled by the Spirit, go next door and far away. Receive the blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in the Lord's peace.